The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Do other drivers' habits rub you up the wrong way? And are you guilty of seeing red on your daily commute? Well, why do we get road rage? Our resident psychiatrist, Professor Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry from Trinity College in Dublin, joins us now to delve deeper into this. Now, Brendan, obviously I don't have road rage, but some people like Shane Coleman might. So what's that all about?
Everybody gets road rage. Everyone gets frustrated, gets angry, and we've all thought things we shouldn't think. If you like, visualized doing things we shouldn't visualize, like getting out of the car, going to another driver, shouting and stuff like this. So we all get a degree of it, a degree of frustration, irritation and anger. But it doesn't always turn into rage and it doesn't always turn into aggressive driving, but it can. So it is important to think about this, given, you know, the accidents and deaths on the roads. And it's important to be aware we can get very annoyed very quickly and we can lose the rag in the blink of an eye.
We do seem to get more angry behind the wheel of a car than we would in other areas of our lives, where, like, faster to anger, more of a kind of a hair trigger. You know, mostly we wouldn't screech and roar at somebody in the office if they did something that minorly irritated us or inconvenienced us, unless we were a bit mad, but we mostly wouldn't. But people do that behind the wheel.
We do that behind the wheel because if you had to design a circumstance to make humans frustrated and annoyed, it would be putting them in a car, putting them in a confined area where there's a limited number of things you can do. And what you can do depends on what hundreds of other people do in their cars at any moment. We're dependent on other people to an extraordinary degree. We feel anonymous in the car.
I was going to say, that is key though, isn't it? The anonymity, that you feel insulated and from the rest of the world, so you can let fly a bit more?
You do. You feel disinhibited because you think that no one knows who you are. You feel you can express anger without consequence, which is very different to in the office when there's an immediate consequence. But of course, in the end, there is a consequence to road rage because it can result in aggressive driving, increased risk of accidents, increased risk of harming yourself and harming other people. But it feels anonymous and it feels like we have no control. But most of all, when something happens in the traffic, it feels unjust. And this we cannot tolerate. So you're queuing in a long line of cars and somebody whizzes up the side, indicates in and cuts in front of you and everybody else. That feels unjust.
Do we also feel a bit protected in our little cars, as in that it's not going to, we can shout and roar from our box at somebody else in their box, and
it's a safe place to
be
angry.
Yeah, we think that the border and the boundary between us is perhaps bigger and stronger than it actually is.
Yes, and as we know, like, cars are in fact very crushable. The border is, you know, the physical structure is not as inviolable, but most of all, the psychological bubble isn't a psychological bubble at all. We are especially sensitive to perceived injustice, to slights and to other people's behaviour when we're in the car. So it's an entire false sense of being encapsulated or in a bubble.
Because I often notice in traffic when I'm sitting there, this has nothing to do with road rage, but if you look around you, there will be people doing things like picking their nose or tweezing their facial hair or things like that, as if they are invisible when they are not invisible. You don't see it as commonly that people would do such things not in the traffic, but they are. It's as if they think the glass is opaque when it is not.
Indeed. And you would not find people doing the same thing in public space on the street if they were not in a car. It is interesting how it's always other people behaving irresponsibly and in unreasonable and unthinking manners. But we have to believe that we do it sometimes too, that we behave unreasonably in the car.
We all do.
And that we can get angry and we can respond to other people's behaviour.
How much of it is this idea of this need to stand up for yourself, to protect our own image, our self-image? Is that a factor? And if so, why particularly in the car as opposed to in work or walking down the street?
Well, in the car, it feels like you're the audience for yourself, and how we perceive ourselves is incredibly important to us. But a lot of this maps onto personality. The risk factors for road rage and aggressive driving are the same as the risk factors for any kind of aggression. So in personality terms, things like narcissism, Machiavellianism and psychopathy are what's called the dark triad, the three human qualities that lead us to be angry and aggressive towards other people. In other words, narcissism being thinking you're always the most important person in the world, That's getting some nods. Machiavellianism.
We're just saying we understand what you mean, Brendan. We're not saying we relate to it.
We'll come back to that. And Machiavellianism, meaning that you can gain, that everything is for your gain. And then psychopathy, as in not caring what happens to other people particularly. So that's not caring how much you upset the other driver, not taking into account the humanity of the other driver. Maybe they are having a bad day. Maybe they're having a difficult time or something like that. But we tend to dehumanize when we get angry in the car.
I notice when you were making those points, you were looking at Kira the whole time and not at me. Was there a particular reason for that?
Yeah, Shane,
we do try and put Brendan in on the couch every time he comes in and we never succeed.
Well, you see, fundamentally, Shane, I didn't want to look at you because I felt you might immediately identify with the narcissistic Machiavellian psychopath.
You see?
And I wanted to neutralize the tendency there.
I see what you're doing there.
Yes, yes, I'm glad you do.
I don't believe you, but I see what you're saying.
the cheek of both of you at this point.
I mean, your comments are simply confirming what I said a moment ago regarding not looking at you when I'm talking narcissism and psychopathy. But look, more seriously, the key here is to recognize when you're getting angry and when you're feeling rage. And, you know, you're not going to stop that feeling, but this idea that you stop it developing into aggressive driving, that you don't let it ratchet
up. You catch yourself.
You try and catch yourself. Now, some people say that shouting in the car, waving your fist, or even shouting out the window, you muppet, or something at the other driver can help discharge the energy. But the evidence suggests the opposite, that this gets you riled up and more likely to start to drive aggressively and tailgate.
You do feel angry in a car after an episode of, you know, somebody going by and they're cross with you for whatever reason and they give you the finger or whatever. It is infuriating. I do recall being in a car many years ago and I wasn't the driver, but I was with somebody else who was driving and somebody cut in ahead of them and they were hitting their horn and shouting and everything. And then we came up to red lights and the person that they had kind of shouted at and waved their fist at or whatever got out of their van and came over to our car that we were sitting in. I was in the passenger seat. This is not me. And was banging on the window, but there was electric windows and they were trying to put the window up, but the window was going up incredibly, or what certainly felt like incredibly slowly. Yeah. But that's the only time I've ever seen road rage get out of its car. You know,
it does happen.
The interaction, but it does happen.
It does happen. And if you're
and
the
then everyone's heart, well, certainly I was a bit horrified.
Yes, but if you're the victim of this, the advice from the various road safety authorities is obviously to stay in your vehicle if someone else hops out of their car and is approaching you in an angry way. Keep the windows closed, the doors locked. If necessary, close up the windows.
Slowly.
Simply do not respond in any way and try to avoid eye contact completely, because if you remain completely quiet and do not engage with somebody at all, they stop what they're doing very quickly because the situation is so weird.
Okay. So
that's good to know.
Let's get to how we calm ourselves down and what we should be doing. Because like road rage, there's a great text here from someone. I used to have awful road rage when I first started driving. I'd come home and rant at anyone who'd listen. Then one day I was told that road rage, hate, anger, frustration is like drinking poison, but expecting it to affect the other person. Since that revelation, I just let other people's behaviour roll off me as I don't need that negativity in my life. That's a great attitude, isn't it?
Well, it is. If you can keep that attitude in the moment when the rage is surging up inside you and you know, your heart is pumping and you're perspiring and you're feeling the injustice very acutely, it's helpful to have that approach. That is a very Buddhist approach, this idea that harming someone else is like pulling a hot coal out of a fire, throwing it, but you only burn yourself.
But when you said there, like, let the kind of the injustice go, when I think about that now, the injustices tend to be fairly trivial. Like someone has cut in front of you or not let you out at a yield sign or something. And under normal circumstances, those kinds of things are petty and meaningless. But for some reason in the car, we fume over rubbish.
They're magnified and amplified because there are so few variables in that situation. So it can feel like a matter of life or death. But the loss, the injustice is tiny. It's less than 30 seconds or 1 minute of your time if you're caught at the lights for another turn of the lights. And it's even less than that if someone goes in front of you in the traffic. It's more about the feeling of injustice rather than the magnitude. So if you're able to look at the magnitude of the injustice in the moment, then your anger will dissipate.
A couple of things, your tips, naming the feeling, humanizing the driver.
Yeah. So, you know,
the other driver, that is.
Humanizing the other driver, maybe humanizing yourself as well, if you're turning into some kind of very angry creature of some sort. Naming the feeling is important, and remembering that you're feeling the anger. The other person might be entirely unaware that you even exist. They may not even know what they have done. And if they do know what they have done, they might have had a reason for doing it of which you know nothing. And remember that when you cut in the traffic in front of other people, you think it's fine because of your circumstance. But if someone else does it, you think they are an evil person. We tend to attribute to other people's personalities.
But you're saying this is all very normal. So if someone is in the traffic and giving somebody the finger and they're giving the finger back and shaking fists and making face. I'm not remembering anything. I'm just saying
just
these things.
It sounds kind of personal.
It is rather vivid, isn't it?
I'm good at sort of telling a story without having any role in the story. That's kind of normal-ish, is it?
It's a normal reaction. What would be really nice is to recognise it in yourself. To say, look, this is ultimately about something very small. This is going to slip out of control. And it is important we do this, because the more angry people are, the more mistakes they make in the traffic, the more accidents there are, and probably the more people die on the roads as a result.
Potentially fatal. Ronan Tip has got in touch to say, you could slay the average person about most things.
I think you mean slag.
Well, I think slay, I'd say he does. Isn't it like slay? Get down with the lingo, kid.
That's a different concept.
But mention their driving and people get offended easily. And that is true. Like, there's two things people will never admit to being bad at. One of them, I won't say on a family show. And the second is driving.
Yeah, well, everyone believes themselves to be above average in driving, and that simply cannot statistically be the case. Everyone, you know, most people are average, but we're super sensitive about it, and so are other drivers. So once you get into a row with another driver, there is no resolution possible. It cannot be solved. All you can do is try and walk away from it and disengage from it, because no one's going to win and everyone's going to lose, including other drivers who are entirely innocent of all.
Yeah,
of
I am thinking of the fact that it's 5 to 6, and a lot of our listeners are in their car right now. I wonder what they're all up to.
Well, hopefully they're zen-like and calm after that excellent advice.
I wonder, does it depend what you're listening to on the radio too? Does that affect your mood?
Yeah.
It does. It absolutely does.
This, your dulcet tones, for example, I find them very soothing, Brendan. So I imagine perhaps our listeners also.
Okay, well, I hope so. And if there are people out there in the traffic, you know, shouting at each other, waving fists.
Or when Kira starts talking about how she gave the finger to some people.
I didn't say I did. I said that someone might do such a thing.
I think it is important we model good behaviour, even as we talk on the radio. The Road Safety Authority has good advice on this, on the rules of the road. And there is also a traffic watch local number, so that if there is a driver behaving irresponsibly, you can, while being careful in your car, telephone 1890 205805, which is a local Garda number, to report dangerous driving. And that is a much better way to discharge your energy rather than being aggressive or shouting.
Only making that call when it is safe to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Kira, Martin in the bus has got back in touch to say, I'm a bus driver, Kira. You were asking, why is he in the bus?
Thanks for letting me know, Martin. I appreciate it.
Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.